Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Cynthia Carell. She's an attorney in Nassau County, and she's going to be talking about what the Skelos convictions mean to Nassau, and also the convictions, what kind of repercussions there will be in the state senate. So, Cynthia, were you surprised by the verdict?
No, not at all. The Silver case was a harder case to make because they didn't have the tapes. In the case of the Skelos tape, Skelos case, they had the tapes not only of Skelos and his sons, but had flipped some of the people that the Skeloses were shaking down, like the president of Aptec, and those tapes were made with cooperating witnesses. So when the witnesses told stories about being shaken down, it wasn't a he said, she said. They had tape recordings to back it up. But of all of them, the most damning tape recordings were the ones between Adam and Dean Skelos.
Now, you know, we've done a show before on Alphonse D'Amato. Mm-hmm. Do you think Alphonse D'Amato will be affected by the Skelos verdict?
I got to tell you, Alphonse D'Amato seems to be made of Teflon. And I thought it was funny that the company involved was Abtec, because years ago, of course, you had the WedTech scandal. So I thought the similarity in the names was sort of, there was a certain symmetry to that. But Al D'Amato seems to have this ability to be right in the middle of whatever dirty deal is going down, and yet walk away. And that's a special kind of genius.
So you think he will be unaffected by the conviction?
Publicly, yeah. Whether it affects, who's paying for his services, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So, since the verdict came down last week, have you heard or seen anything in Nassau County that the Skelos trial affected?
Well, obviously, there's going to be a need for a special election.
Right.
So, there's everybody, both parties, I assume, are busy hunting for candidates. There is an ongoing investigation in the Eastern District of New York of certain events going on in the town of Oyster Bay. And the Skelos verdict, hopefully will embolden the Eastern District to go ahead and indict those cases. But B, also affects, because nothing happens in Nassau that Dean Skelos didn't have a part in. So there's that. Interestingly, during the Skelos trial, the deputy county executive, Rob Walker, was given testimonial immunity, but only testimonial immunity, and they very severely limited his what he was allowed to testify about. So that implies mm-hmm. that there are other matters for which they are still looking at him. And Ed Mangano, who's the county executive, was not given any immunity. And that's very significant.
Well, Mangano and Cuomo have a pretty chummy relationship. Is that correct?
Certainly, publicly they do. Andy Cuomo came down after Sandy and did literally put on a jacket and did a photo op of him and Mangano and John Venditto, who was the supervisor of the town of Oyster Bay, doing hands-on manual labor post-Sandy cleanup. And he gives Mangano Sandy funds from the feds. He treats it like his own personal, piggy bank, and periodically just dumps money on Mangano with no strings attached.
So what do you foresee happening as the new session starts? I mean, besides Nassau County, what do you see happening in Albany?
That's the interesting question. The one thing for sure that I see everybody doing is engaging in chastity of the phone conversation, because nobody knows whose phone is tapped. So
okay.
Going forward, after what happened to Dean Skelos because his phone was tapped, I'm going to assume that nobody talks about anything corrupt on the phone. And if they do, well, then that's a level of stupidity. They deserve to go to jail. So there's that. The people that replace Silver and Skelos are not exactly known for being firebrand reformers. So I don't see them trying to do some massive ethics overhaul. If anything, they're going to tinker around the edges. I don't see that there's any thirst among the leadership to, like, take a lesson from this and reform.
Do they take the public for granted? I mean, the public should be outraged if they don't.
Well, the thing is, they accomplished what they wanted when they redrew the districts. The way they gerrymandered the districts, of course they take the public for granted. They know who's going to win every election. They know which party's going to win.
Right.
That's why gerrymandering is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so Cuomo district by district, they know what the outcome is going to be.
Right. And Cuomo had his hand in that, didn't he?
No, the legislature does that. Redistricting is done by the legislature.
Okay, sure, but he was the one that pushed for the extra Senate seat.
Right, but the drawing of the lines is done by the legislature. I'm never shy about blaming Andy Cuomo for stuff, but this one is really not. I'm not saying he fought the good fight or anything, but this really is not laid at his door. This is the legislature. Uh-huh.
Okay. So what do you envision happening over the next couple of months after the state of the state?
That is an interesting thing also. About 1 week ago, the Buffalo Chronicle put out a story saying that Andy Cuomo was going to be indicted on January 2nd.
Uh-huh.
A couple days after that, several news outlets all on the same day did a thing saying, how come this was only reported by the Buffalo Chronicle and nobody else? How come no one else seems, you know, implying that the Buffalo Chronicle was wrong? The very next day, Preet Bharara's Twitter account, which had never tweeted out, it had just been set up and accumulated followers, but had never sent out a tweet, sent out a more to come or stay tuned for the next thing type of tweet.
Right.
And then there was a big brouhaha. Oh, wait, why is Preet suddenly tweeting? And then he confirmed that it was his first tweet ever and sent out another tweet that said more to come. So that, in a way, implies that he was confirming the Buffalo Chronicle story, or at least that's how a lot of people are taking it. Now, I don't know if it's really going to be January 2nd or not, but he was the third man in the room, and two out of the three men, a good case was made.
I've heard people say that Buffalo Chronicle story was baloney, that it was a false story, and that January 2nd is on a Saturday. And people are saying, oh, Cuomo's going to be indicted next. But there's a lot of people, and Fred Dicker was one of them, who said that this was like a ridiculous, untrue story.
Whether he wouldn't be indicted on a Saturday, but he could be arrested on a Saturday. Something that is very common back when I was at the U.S. Attorney's Office and doing public corruption cases, particularly where you're using wiretaps and where you're using cooperating witnesses, is actually you indict the person long before you arrest them, and it's a sealed indictment. And then when the time is right, for example, if you don't want to influence an election, you might indict a person the last week in October, seal it, wait for election day to come and go, because influencing an election with a criminal investigation is very much frowned upon in the Department of Justice. So you might, for the sake of the integrity of the election, keep it sealed, and then after the election results are final, unseal it and do the arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
mm-hmm.
very often where there are cases where you're going to be arresting multiple people in the same day, that's a biggie where you do sealed indictments, because you want to know that you have the indictment in hand and know who you're arresting. Go get a lot of times there'll be search warrants associated with the arrest. Get all the search warrants done and then deploy all your agents on the same day. So you take down an entire organization in one fell swoop. So it's mm-hmm. not that uncommon, especially if there are issues about securing documents and computers.
Now,
I don't put a lot of faith in the January 2nd date. But
right.
whether or not that's the next case, we'll find out soon.
This is true. Now, I didn't follow state politics back when Spitzer was governor. So would you say that what's going on now is more profound than Spitzer stepping down?
Yes. Remember, Spitzer stepped down because of a private peccadillo. He wasn't corrupt in office. He was sleeping with a hooker.
Right.
It was not that he was corrupting his work. It was not that he was corrupting the public trust. These people, and don't forget, it's not just Silver and Skelos. It's Leibus. There's been a string of them. It's Malcolm Smith. These people are corrupting their offices.
Right. Mhm. So yesterday I saw the movie Spotlight, and there were a handful of journalists in Boston who uncovered the child abuse cases by the priests in Boston. And you know, since I've been doing Focus on Albany and reaching out to people and getting interviews, I realized that, okay, they uncovered something.
Mm-hmm.
In Albany, there is no group of people like the Boston people, where the established journalists do not try to uncover crimes.
I think that's a problem. I think that's a big problem. Down here on Long Island, Newsday, back when I was a prosecutor, Newsday actually had an investigative unit that also did New York City. And back in those days, I mean, they were just crackerjack. They were amazing. Unfortunately, they couldn't sustain it financially. But they still have some vestiges of that unit and do some time to time. They don't do it continuously the way they used to, but from time to time do decent investigative pieces. Likewise, the Long Island Press has a couple of very good investigative reporters that have been hitting this issue, again, intermittently. They do other things on other days.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of lucky that way. The Albany papers and the Albany bureaus of the New York City papers really don't seem to be all that fired up. It's almost like they gave up. And if I were them, I would think that this is my shot at a Pulitzer, you know, that this could and should be a huge story. And I'm really been surprised in a bad way that they haven't jumped on this.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
They just seem to be, like the legislature, to be comfortable with the way things are. And that's an indictment of them. That's an ethical
right.
moral indictment of those outlets,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those
mm-hmm.
reporters.
Now, the other factor is there's not as much drama in the Assembly like there is in the Senate, because now there's a 31-31 split. There's
mm-hmm.
the IDC. There's Senator Felder in New York City. Nobody knows how this is going to play out. But if you if you had a crystal ball in front of you, what do you see?
I see that there are a couple of Senate seats on Long Island that are vulnerable. There are a couple of Senate seats in Westchester that could flip. I see, I don't know what the Republicans are doing. I see a Democratic Senate campaign committee that doesn't seem to be fired up. They don't seem to be doing outreach. They don't seem to be, you know, mobilized and doing wonderful candidate recruitment and training. I'm just not seeing it. The last time I saw really, the last two times I saw DSCC chairs that really tried were back when David Patterson was DSCC chair and when Liz Krueger was. And you saw just tons of out, like, calling all kinds of party faithful. Who can we run for this seat? Who do you think would be good for this? What can we do? How can we develop? You know, nothing. The silence is deafening. And part of it is that as a party, as a state party, the Democrats are fixated on the presidential election.
Right.
They've really sort of drop the ball on being a state party because everybody's too busy. And this is not a knock on Hillary Clinton, and it's not her fault. They're all fixated on Hillary.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not blaming her. It's them.
Okay, the overall feeling is that because 2016 is going to be a Democratic year in New York State, that whoever the nominee for the Democrats on the top of the ticket will have coattails, therefore we will win the Senate back. Do you agree with that?
Nope.
Interesting.
I do not.
Now, okay,
I think it is imperative that we have a meaningful organization, that we run good candidates, not just whoever's turn it is next, but good candidates that we've really invested some time in developing them and polishing them up, and I don't see that happening. There should have been a meeting called among the Nassau County Democrats the day after the Skelos verdict to talk about how we are going to go after Skelos' seat, and that didn't happen.
So
I haven't even got an email.
So that's the Democratic Party in Nassau. That doesn't necessarily reflect Andrea Stewart Cousins and Michael Gennaris, correct?
I know Andrea well. I consider her a friend. We've done a lot of stuff together. Didn't get an email from her either. I'm not seeing the kind of outreach that should have happened immediately after that verdict.
Okay, so my question to you is, over the years that the Republicans have not brought to the floor legislation that would have benefited the citizens of New York State, if that's the case,
which legislation?
And one good example is the ban for fracking waste being brought in from Pennsylvania. That was not brought to the floor at all. So if the leadership knows this, why aren't they trying to flip the Senate? You know, I'll tell you something.
They all seem distracted by the presidential race. I don't think it's a deliberate, let's drop the ball. I think they're just completely distracted.
But, you know, in politics, as in many other aspects of life, there's different layers, and you have to choose the layer that's most important. And in this case, I would think it would be winning back the state senate. Would you agree?
I would think so. This is a unique opportunity to win back the Senate. And as I said, I would have expected emails from the state committee, emails from the DSCC, phone calls, meetings. I'm on all those lists. You know, Andrea Stewart Cousins has my number at home. You know, mm-hmm. I am on every one of those lists. So if I'm not getting phone calls and emails, it means nothing. Nobody else is. And I got a call last night from somebody up in Westchester making that same observation. Why is nobody doing anything?
That's fascinating. So in the coming sessions, do you anticipate it being business as usual?
I'm afraid it might be. I'm very much afraid of that. The difference being, of course, that no one's going to have incriminating phone calls. So that'll
right,
be the change
right.
in how business is done.
Now, from what I understand, both Silver and Adam and Dean Skelos are facing long prison terms. In Illinois, quite a few years ago, the governor got a 14-year sentence. Do you think the sentences in New York will be pretty hefty?
If they follow the sentencing guidelines, yes. The thing about federal sentencing is, unlike state sentencing, there's something called a sentencing guidelines calculation system, and it has to do with how many counts. Each count gets assigned a numeric score. Then there are things kind of like when you do scoring gymnastics or ice skating. There's like degree of difficulty multipliers. They also take into account the amount of money. So it becomes this formula, this mathematical formula, and at the back end you end up with a guidelines calculation number, and then you look that up on a chart, and that gives you the range of sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of that was to make it consistent across the country, because at the time that they created this, they had found that sentencing was wildly disparate depending on what state you were in.
Mm-hmm.
So the sentencing guideline calculation is something that, as long as you know what the government's pre-sentence report says, I could do the math. I've done dozens of them. The judge, however, does not have to follow it. It's not strictly bound. It's a recommendation. The judge can do a departure upwards or a departure downwards from the range. His departure upwards is limited by the maximum sentence under statute, so he can't go beyond that. Because your guidelines calculation always takes you to less than the maximum. Departure downwards, he can go as far down as nothing. But in either case, he has to make a record about why he's departing. So if you just accept the guidelines calculation range and sentence within that range, that's all the judge has to do. Say the range is, you know, 5 years, 6 months to 7 years and 2 months, I'm sentencing you to 6 years. He doesn't have to make any further record. If he wants to go outside the range in either direction, he has to make a factual record of why he's doing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the when Joe Bruno was convicted, it was later overturned on appeal.
Yes.
Do you see an appeal happening in both Silver and Skelos, and neither one of the three people will ever serve a day?
Joe Bruno's conviction was overturned on appeal on the basis that the jury instruction about honest services was overbroad. In theory, they can retry Joe Bruno, but I believe they're not going to do that. But all that gets you is the opportunity to be tried again.
Right.
The Skelos one, and now people have backed off of honest services as a count. The Silver one, I believe there's an honest services count, and they had a much, much narrower jury instruction that tracked the language of the Bruno case. So they should be okay there. Plus, he was convicted of other things. And the Skelos one, the main focus of that conviction is extortion and bribery, not honest services.
Okay.
So are they appealing? Both cases, they've said they are appealing and they will contest vigorously. Right. Whether those appeals will succeed, we will find out.
Yes, we will find out. And as the U.S. attorney says,
Skelos has a really tough time because of those tapes. The factual record in the Skelos case is just so overwhelming.
Now, what we discussed today, there's a lot to follow up with as the as the session progresses. Cynthia, as you've been on the show before, will you come back and share your really insightful dialogue on Focus on Albany?
Sure, anytime.
Okay, thank you. You've been
listening
to this. Have a wonderful holiday.
You too.
You've been listening to Focus on Albany. If you like us on if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and download on your smartphone. Listen anywhere, anytime. And as the U.S. attorney says, stay tuned. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.